following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee, Studio A specifically, at least for the moment, here in a little while. We're going into Studio C, where I had a conversation with the heavyweight chumps. Well, they're Hollywood. I mean, it's showbiz, that's for sure. It's kind of a first for this show because I've got the host of another podcast on as a guest. These guys are great too. You're going to have a lot of fun with them. We'll be talking about a bunch of stuff. Before we get into that, though, I wanted to kind of get into this a little bit. The world of social media influencers. That's a thing, you know, and it's these little pop tarts, if you will, that get onto the Instagram and they're pumping post after post after post of stuff that they're trying to hawk you. They get paid to do that. I mean, sure, it's great money. It's a great job. It's great money if you can get it, you know, that kind of deal, I suppose. But the problem with it is, at least in my estimation, is that they feel that they are. I don't know, that they've become somewhat of a star out of this sort of thing. Oh, she's a Facebook star. She is a YouTube star. No. The reason why I say that is that, I mean, they have a lot of followers, sure. Why, I don't know. But they get paid an enormous amount of money to talk about certain products. And one person, the reason why I bring this up is that one person that comes to mind was the daughter of Lori Loughlin. Is that her name? She was caught up in the university scams, you know, getting their kids into high-end colleges by having other people take their tests for them because they were too stupid to get into college on their own or didn't work hard to get there. And it was just, you know, they were influencing the system. And Laughlin's kid was making a lot of money as an influencer in social media. Well, when this whole thing broke, Laughlin's looking like she's going to jail for a while, rightfully so. The kid, as it turns out, didn't even want to go to college because, you know, why? Just didn't have it within her to, you know, to I don't know, better herself and get an education. Why would I want to do that? Because I make so much money as an influencer. Well, guess what happened during all of this? Her clients abandoned her. You're out of a gig. Because you're not trustworthy. Guess what? That's the thing that goes on. You got to be trustworthy and that sort of thing. So what happens to a lot of these people? They get into social media and they become famous for whatever it is that they're doing or not doing, or whatever the case may be. And as such, they try and parlay that into legitimate show business of some sort. And it never works. You ever notice that? These people that were Facebook famous or social media famous, they've never made that crossover into, pardon the phrase, but mainstream entertainment. And the reason is they don't know what they're doing. They don't understand production. They don't understand scripting. They don't understand timing or pacing or any of that stuff. They just, I've got all these followers, and these followers aren't going to television, that's for sure. Because they're a fickle bunch, the audience. Especially in social media, they're very fickle. You're hot one day, you're not the next. And I speak from a little bit of experience in this because you guys know I have a dog. His name is Duke. He's a greyhound. He's a retired racing greyhound, and he's handsome as hell. And I've taken a few pictures of him because of that. And people, you know, people find it sort of amusing and interesting to see pictures of Duke. And he's a fun fella. And I got a message from a dog supply company that was interested in having him become an influencer. He got a job. He got offered a job. Boy, howdy, was that a joke. That didn't work out because for me to do this, I would have had to have spent like, I don't know, $100 at this pet store thing, online deal. And they would have given me this massive discount after the fact, after everything that I would have purchased, because he would have been an influencer. They wanted pictures of him with their products. if you will. And it's like, I got to pay you for that? What the hell? I know that's how it starts in a lot of cases, but not in this case. No, not playing that game, bud. I wound up having to turn that down. Sorry, Duke. You know, out of a gig there, pal. It happens. It would have been sort of amusing had he gotten a job in the business. He doesn't know. He's a dog. He's too busy licking his butt. Why's my bowl empty? I don't know, man. Good luck. If you're an influencer in social media, congrats. You figured it out, I guess, for now. Don't count on it to last too much longer, I don't think, because that's just kind of how the world works. That's just the way the old cookie crumbles. You know what I'm saying? Right. Coming up here in just a moment, we're going to have a conversation in Studio C. We'll step over there and sit down with the heavyweight chumps. What's the story with these guys? You're going to learn. They're a lot of fun. They're down from Mississippi, and they're funny, man. They've got the pop culture thing down, and we had some fun with them, and I'm sure you will too. So stick around. The heavyweight chumps are next here from Radioland. Don't go away.
Experience the quality that lies nestled within the beautiful valley of the Wisconsin River in Mauston, Wisconsin. Home to the finest traditional taste and service, all you need to do is visit WisconsinRiverMeats.com to enjoy the old country flavor and style of specialty sausages, smoked meats, jerky, and their famous Landjagers. Listeners of Radio Memphis will receive $10 off their order by simply using Memphis as a coupon code. Wisconsin River Meats even supports our military, and orders placed by our troops will receive free treats from Wisconsin River Meats. No matter where you are, visit WisconsinRiverMeats.com right now and place your order, because they ship worldwide.
Well, as promised, here in Studio C, this time out here from Radioland, it is the heavyweight chumps. I was thrilled to be a guest on you guys' program a few weeks back. That was interesting. It was cathartic. I needed some therapy after that, but it was...
You needed therapy. We had to hear it all for the first time.
But no, thank you guys for having me on your show. That was a lot of fun. You guys have been doing this show here for a while, and people may not know exactly who is who on who's what's going on. So I'm going to let you do this, because that way they can identify the voice with your sound.
Okay. I'm Maddox. This is Devin. And if you can't figure out that we're not the same person,
something's wrong.
You need to start drinking too.
Maddox and Devin. The heavyweight. How long have you guys been doing this show now?
Let's see. We started in January of last year.
So over a year now.
Yeah, we're into about 16 months.
16 months. And this is a weekly show, right?
Twice a week.
Twice a week.
We went to twice a week about 6 months in.
You guys are ambitious.
Well, I was having too many. I was having to stock so much that it was getting old before I could get it on the air.
Right.
So I just decided, screw it. Let's go to twice a week.
Well, God, yeah, that's a massive amount of production, you know. I complain about being here 7 days a week.
We don't edit. You know, I have friends that are in the podcast world that talk about how much they edit. We as a matter of fact, there's some groups that we're in on Twitter, and they'll all get together and we'll do what they call podcast rumbles, where it'll be four of us at a time and somebody alternates in every 5 minutes.
Right.
And one guy recorded that, and it took us, we recorded for 3 hours, because they recorded an after show too for Patreon.
Right.
And it took, what did it take, Almy? About 3 months almost, yeah, to get one episode out, because he was that anal about the editing.
That's a bit much.
He took every bit of breathing and there was no...
Oh, he took what they call taking the air out of
it. Yeah, there was no air left. I mean,
you gotta let people breathe. Right. You know,
we had a different host this time. We just recently did the second one. We had a different host this time who was in Australia, and he actually got it out in about 2 weeks. So.
Yeah. And you know, it's bad when you got a fat ass like me going.
You know, the wheezing adds a certain element of life to a show, and there's nothing wrong with that.
The first time we recorded, when they thought his ass fell asleep, they were on the mic going, "Devin, wake the hell up!
Is this guy alive over there? What the hell's happened?"
No, he was alive.
No, I mean, I get it. You know, podcasting has given a lot of people access to a type of broadcasting in general, and to people who hadn't never really got the chance to do that in a radio station environment or television environment, this certainly opens up that playing field. And when that happens, they feel like
they can now do better than everybody else has, but there's so much feel and life that comes into a show, I believe. That's been always my theory. You and I have been chatting about this for a while. You and I on the Messenger.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked back and forth. I've hit you up for equipment upgrades and everything else that we're looking into. I figure you always go to somebody that's got more experience than you do.
That's what you got to do. You know, I don't. There's a lot of things that I will. I've got guys that I work with that know a lot more about what I do than what I do, and so I ask them. You know, hey, what about this? What about that? You know, how are we going to do this? And it's the same thing. You know, it's just the process.
I think the biggest piece of advice that you gave us was get rid of the damn condensers.
That can help.
And it's funny now that because. Used to, we wouldn't really notice the background noise that it was picking up.
Until it's been pointed out.
Now, we were sitting there the other day, and we were like, where the fuck is that breeze coming from?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, there's a breeze. Like, there's no breeze. Where's it? He goes,
it's your fan
on in your bedroom? I had to go to the bedroom, turn the fan off. The condenser was picking it up in another room.
Sure.
And I'm like, okay, now I understand why we need to get rid of these mics.
Well, condensers have their place. You can do a lot with them. They're great in a live environment, believe it or not, because it helps pick up the audience, you know, without having to mic the audience, especially if you're looking for, you know, reactions and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But by and large, when you're sitting in a studio, please, you know, we're doing this on SM58s and whatever the hell this thing is I pulled out of a drawer. So, you know, it's just a matter of taste and quality, too, because you don't want to. I always tell younger podcasters this. The number one thing to avoid when it comes to microphones are those USB mics. I personally think they sound like ass. They have no real dynamic range. They're not controllable at all. This is a straight-up analog rig, if you will. I'm recording it digitally, but it's run through an analog board. But that's the whole idea here, you know? You want it to have that sound. I mean, we're fortunate enough to sit here in the studio. I know you guys wanted to come down and see this setup. So,
are you using an
H1?
H2.
Yeah, okay. It's the H2.
I have one of those at home.
And they're when you plug them in, they're great. You know,
I had one that
you
can
do in a quad too if you really wanted it
for film projects for a while. Put it in a drawer and forgot about it until about 2 months ago and found it.
Wow.
We travel with an H4N when we go out and do live stuff, but.
As long as the sound guy plugs it in, we get good stuff.
God.
We'll get to that here. So you guys both have a background in film, is that right? Or has it just been more of a passion or hobby for you?
It's a passion for me. I was a film critic for a while.
Really?
Like a
newspaper?
Local, you know, just North Mississippi local. It's been sold 15 times by now, but.
A paper?
Yeah. And then did it at a paper in Holly Springs for a little while. But, you know, I'm covering general news, and then that was just an adjunct to my regular.
So they would the studios would send you tickets and say, hey, go check it, or did you have to out-of-pocket that stuff?
One place I had to out-of-pocket, one of them, the Malco actually advertised with us, and they sent us books of free passes.
Oh, Lord, yes.
So... And when I left that job, the boss actually gave me a book of free passes and said, have a good time on us.
Gee, thanks, pal.
Yeah. Look, I used every damn one of them.
I'm sure you did, yeah.
But the thing is, you use those passes, you can't go see a new film.
You have to wait a couple of weeks, yeah.
No. You just buy. I saw Scooby-Doo 3 times in theaters, according to the ticket stubs.
Uh-huh. I see how that works. But because I know you, I was perusing your social media stuff, and there was a picture of the two of you with the lanyards, the passes for some. Was it a film festival you guys were at?
We hit up film festivals regularly.
Because you guys aren't. We'll get to the wrestling here in just a minute. But you guys really kind of started from more of a film aspect.
Yeah, the film festival kind of the door opened to us because. The director of the film festival in Oxford came out of the newspaper world, too.
Aha. Uh-huh.
She and I had worked together previously as far as I was covering things for the paper. And when I started a podcast, I said, you know what? Let me just reach out and see if Melanie will open the door, if we can get into the press junket and see what we can do.
Sure.
And I called. We had one episode under our belt, just us. No guest, no nothing.
Right.
And our first live action is to go to a film festival where we have 15 minutes of basically rapid fire the first year because of the way they had it set up.
Right.
And we did what did we interview that first year? 10, 12?
10 to 12, but we wound up with
We ended up having to split it into two episodes.
Yeah, well, good, yeah.
Which is a good problem to have.
Did y'all get, like, thrown out of there or something? Did I hallucinate that, or?
Did we get thrown out?
I don't remember.
I wasn't drinking that heavy that day.
I wasn't drinking at all.
Or was it maybe somebody, one of y'all had pissed off somebody that you were talking to?
No. I had a friend of mine that went with me one year when I was covering for the paper.
Ah, that's what that was, yes.
He got kicked out because, well, I'm not going to say he got kicked out. I kicked his ass out.
Ah, you did. Okay.
He got so drunk. Elvis Mitchell, you know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
Film critic.
Yes.
Okay. He was there that year. And he had done on one of the bonus features on a Tarantino film, was an interview of him and Quentin. And my buddy that was with me at the time, we don't speak anymore, so I won't give him any credit for a name, but he was
Call him John.
You're pretty close, actually. But he
way to out him.
He was a big he's a big Tarantino fan. Well, he had gotten 3 sheets to the wind during the festival because they had the bar set up.
Well, of course.
And of course I was paying for everything else and the tickets were free, so he was buying booze. And so he goes over and sees Elvis Mitchell and he just forces his way up into the group with Elvis, starts talking to him. Elvis politely excuses himself and tries to go off somewhere. He goes right back with him and just starts busting right back up in there. And I finally grabbed him and said, "Listen, you're not going to get me fired by you being a drunk asshole. Mm-hmm. Let's go."
Yeah.
And I mean, he cussed me the entire way home, but sorry.
Sometimes you got to do that. Yeah. Well, you got to protect yourself. I mean, you've been invited to this thing, you know, you can't just,
if I hadn't done that, we wouldn't have had the chance to do what we've done. And that's, I firmly believe.
Well, that. And it's great. Your show is a lot of fun to listen to. And I've told several people about it. You know, go check this show out, especially if you're even remotely a fan of the world of wrestling. Because, and this is what I really love about the show, you don't devote that much time to the activity as you would. I mean, it's entertaining, it's fun. I grew up with it like a lot of people did. I didn't grow up here. I grew up in South Texas, but you know, that was back with Tully Blanchard and those.
Blanchard, we grew up with Lawler.
Right, right. And I mentioned Blanchard to Lawler because he comes down here every once in a while to record some stuff, and I talked to Jerry about it, and I said, you know, I grew up around Tully, and I met him a few times, and he just kind of you know, it was like he was ready to kick his ass. I mean, because it's just that fun that comes up out of it, you know. My brother-in-law, who's since passed, but my sister's husband, he played football for the University of Texas, and when he got out of that, he got a knee injury. He was approached by Blanchard and those guys to say, "Come on and join us in the ring," and he turned it down. Just because he didn't feel like he was ready to be done with all of that, you know, all of the athletics, and because it's you say what you will about wrestling, but there's a lot of athleticism that goes with it.
Yes,
there is, and I mean, I knew going in, I've got bad knees. That side of actually getting involved in the action was never going to happen for me.
So you never wrestled.
No.
You've done the calling though, right?
I have announced and I have managed. I can run my mouth and piss off enough people that I can make sure we can keep putting asses in the seats.
What about you?
I did 14 years in the ring acting.
Did you really? 14 years?
Yes. I stayed around North Mississippi a little bit in West Tennessee.
I've seen some of your matches. They weren't that active.
I got fat.
That's cold, man.
I got fat. I forgot how to fly.
Were you a top rope jumper? Was that your thing?
I can do a moonsault or a backflip off the top rope.
Yeah.
And, you know, that me being as agile as I am for a big guy doing all these flips, everybody's like, and now you've got guys like Samoa Joe that come along and other big guys that are just as agile as I am, and he lost his pizzazz.
Right.
So here I am, 325 pounds running around in a pair of spandex trunks. The women's...
And he means trunks. He doesn't mean tight.
Yeah.
He means the underwear looking.
Yeah.
I
am the world's sexiest man in professional wrestling. I'm guaranteed to make your spleen scream and your liver quiver, ladies.
Jesus Christ, he's cutting a promo.
Hey, but that's part of the magic of it, man. That's just what it was. Who did you wrestle for? Is there an organization that you worked with?
I wrestled for MUWA, TFW, SGWA, EPW, JWS.
And you got traded a lot, didn't you?
I moved around a lot. I just went where I was. My bookings were, and as far as Tennessee, I've worked LAW, Dyersburg. CCW for Steve Creasy.
Did you ever wrestle here in Memphis?
Yes, I did, at the Kappa Alpha House.
God, I forgot you were on that show.
Law called on us that night.
Did you really?
Yes.
Wasn't that the night you actually did the Ghetto Fabulous Jerry Curl gimmick?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that was... I wrestled at the Riley Mall doing Ghetto Fabulous Jerry Curl. This was when me and Easy Rodden were tagging up as the Bodies.
Oh, good Lord.
Right.
If you watched ECW back in the day, they did what they called the 100-pound pussy speech.
Uh-huh.
Where the Dudley Boys are giving a crowd hell. I bet your mother taught your sister how to give $2 blowjobs. And look, and it, just trying to get this one guy riled up.
Thank God we're not monitored by the FCC at this point.
I know, right? Those of you that are tuning in at home, relax. You might learn something.
The guy gets fired up. He's coming down. Yeah. Guy starts trying to come down, and he backs off and walks away, and Bubba Ray says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the 100-pound pussy of ECW." Well, there was a frat house across that was standing out on their balconies watching the show. It was a fundraiser for the Kappa Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the guys were like, man, they're watching this stuff for free. They should be over here paying for it. They should be, you know, contributing to the cause. I mean, it's a frat. It's a fraternity. It's, you know.
It's their charity, whatever it is that they're doing. Right. Yeah.
And we're all drunk.
As you should be, yes.
Yes. And Easy goes out there and cuts the 100-pound speech, you know, and he goes, ladies and gentlemen, look, I'll come over there and I'll burn your frat house down. They called the law.
On a terroristic threat.
Yeah. So here we are. We finish our match. We're like, the cops are here. What? Yeah. So we're all hurrying up and getting dressed. We're walking out with our heads down, pulling our bags, not saying a word. We're getting the hell out of Dodge.
Wise.
So you basically had an issue like Lawler did with the Eddie Gilbert running him over in the parking lot angle.
Right.
Yeesh. I didn't work with him back then, folks. It wasn't my fault.
Did you guys ever work together at that time? Were you ever...
I announced a couple of matches
with him in it.
That was about... Most of the time, he was... By the time I got... Mine was mainly in Tupelo.
Yeah.
And he was already... had already moved from Tupelo by the time I got there.
Right,
and,
right.
They ended up putting me with... well, it wasn't originally planned. It was just the fact that... There was a match going on between two guys. It was Bone Crusher and the guy he called Izzy Rotten, who was wrestling under the name of Special Ed. And, I'm sorry, folks. It's just these is facts.
I know. I just find that funny. That's
and then you had...
Real creativity in this.
Yeah, you had a tag team called Popular, which was Ravishing Ryan and Superstar Sean Reed. They were wrestling in a red and a blue single.
Yeah.
Okay, Special Ed's wearing a Ninja Turtle t-shirt, and the Bone Crusher looks like Fred Flintstone.
Okay.
So I'm on the microphone, and I'm calling the match, and I'm going, Jesus Christ, it's Saturday morning cartoons in the ring right now.
I was
now.
Thinking the same thing, because that's kind of what it is, really. I mean, there's a cartoony aspect to wrestling, and it is. Well, there's superheroes and gladiators and right. cartoons and all of this.
The guys in the red and blue singlet started kicking, and I started going, Red Power Ranger, kick! And they would start going over to the corner, and I thought they were doing something where they were, you know, the old strategizing the corner chicken shit.
Right.
I get to the back, and they catch me and go, God damn it, you can't do that shit anymore. You had us laughing so bad, we couldn't hardly work the match. They were going over there to laugh because I had them cracking up.
Well, see, that's on them. They've got to tune you out. You know, they got.
I ended up managing them the next week.
Oh, that's awesome. could you like manage us?
That's pretty much how it kinda went, and
it was good stuff.
We had a blast. I mean, they kind of gave me. I kind of morphed into the kind of Jim Cornette role.
Yeah.
I'd come out and bring them out one by one and announce them, and we came out to Billy's Choir.
So
everybody wants you.
If I understand what you're saying here right, then you kind of worked it as sort of like the heel angle then.
Yes.
Yeah.
I enjoyed working as a heel, and I had a chance at in my hometown.
Yeah.
I had worked as, when I first started, I was announcing there, and I went to the promoter, and I said, look, you've got to let me turn heel. And he goes, you want to turn heel in your hometown? I'm like, hell yes. It's like, why is it? It's easier.
It is easier because you're playing the heavy, you're playing the dark, you know, you're the bad guy. Everybody wants to hate on the bad guy. I mean, Lawler was the heel for a while. I mean, you know, and look how popular he turned out to be.
Yeah. Right.
He was just as popular as a heel.
Well, where did you fall into all of this?
I would do either side of the ball.
Yeah.
I've had, when I was at JWS, I was booking there at Jumpertown in Mississippi. And I forgot what had happened. Something company, anyway, I was going to hang my boots up. Lost the match. Went into retirement, and I had women crying. Old women crying, and I'm like...
Oh, yeah, because they do buy into this, so...
Like, really?
Had I known this?
These people really care.
Yeah.
And I've had them... I've had them love me, I've had them hate me, but I love them hating me. The fun hate. I don't go for the nuclear...
Oh, they're going to meet you in the parking lot with a knife, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't go for that nuclear heat.
I had that happen.
Oh, yeah?
I got pulled off commentary one night, the night I turned heel. They pulled me off commentary for the second half of the show and would not let me leave until the building was clear.
Wow. But, yeah, I mean, so leaving it must have been kind of sentimental for you, I would think.
It was, but I had two children, so it wasn't that hard.
You had your own fights to fight.
Right.
You miss it?
Part of me misses it. I don't miss the drama and bullshit.
Well, it's like with any job.
Right.
Yeah.
But there seems to be more egos for people that shouldn't have an ego, that haven't done anything but think they're God's gift to wrestling.
Right, right.
And
oh, yeah.
I just...
That's everywhere.
Yeah. And it just seems to be really rampant in the wrestling business, and I'm just like, fuck this.
Do you do anything with it now?
I've toyed with the idea of getting back in.
We both
like
came
like
close
in the
to
ring, or as managers, or
getting in the ring.
Really?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
He was going to manage me. We came this close. Well, what, about 2 months ago?
Yeah. Thank God they called that show and ended up having to move it further than I was willing to drive.
That's all it was. We could put something together here in town. I'll egg that on.
Oh, God. You know what? I'd like to work Memphis one time just because.
Well, I tell you, there's, as you know, the Mid-South Coliseum, they have those Save the Coliseum meetings every once in a while, which is the group that's behind it is wonderful. They bring out a lot of entertainment. They've got bands. Lawler goes out there and does a thing. They set up a ring out in the parking lot, and they bring out a lot of people. I could probably get you guys a building over. I think, you know, if you wanted to do it.
I'm down.
Shit, it's Memphis. I got to do it once.
Got to do it once.
Yeah, I got to do it once. I mean, I walked away. Personal reasons, of my grandmother was sick, had
sure.
cancer, and I was in an issue of, I don't want to be in Tupelo and get a call, my grandmother's dying, I can't get there.
Right, right.
And I had to walk away from it at that point, and... There have been times I've had people trying to get me back in, and I'm just like, you know what? I just don't miss it.
Namely me.
Yeah, I mean, we came close at one point to having a company put together, and it just...
Well, I mean, I guess you have to ask the question, is it viable? I mean, look, the big monster in the room is the WWE. It's everywhere.
Right.
But at the same time... In the medium to smaller markets, you've got a bunch of wrestling outfits out there that are putting on shows, mm-hmm. and they're selling some tickets, I would reckon, because if they weren't, these companies wouldn't be around. I mean, even if it's a, you know, if it's a one-off Saturday night at the VFW, they're selling tickets to these things, right?
Yeah.
Some places.
I mean, is there a draw for this sort of thing?
If it's done
wrong. The market is too saturated.
Yeah, there's too many... organizations that have guys that come in and work for $5 or free just for the sake of putting on their tights.
Let's just call it like Jim Cornette sees it. there are too many damn outlaw mud shows.
Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it. And like you said, being saturated, they're not going to pay the tickets for it. You know, unless you're a known superstar. I mean, obviously you were in it to, I guess at one point, hope to get to the WWE. You're working your way like a minor league ball player to get into the big show.
I knew I didn't have the height or the size of what Vince McMahon was looking for. I knew that.
Really?
Because he likes guys that are over 6 feet. I'm only 5'7". I wasn't cut. I'm cut, just round.
You're a shape.
I'm a shape. Round is a shape.
But so was Andre the Giant. Now, mind you, Andre was literally a giant. I mean, he was 7'7".
Andre was 7'5".
Well, there it is. There it is. Yeah.
And the other shoe drops.
But, yeah, I mean, I guess you do have to ask yourself if it's worth getting in there and you know, risking some type of an injury. And
right, and that's always a real risk, regardless of how safe you try to be.
Sure, and I know there's techniques and stuff that you guys had worked on over the years. And it's not like when I was teasing you about it through the messenger about the luchadors. You know, I grew up in South Texas, so that was something that you would see. And on a Friday night, you'd find yourself in some gym somewhere, and the luchadors would be out there.
He did a lucha gimmick.
It's a trip.
He did a luchador. He was a luchador at one point.
I thought I understood wrestling until you sat in a luchador night, and that was lucha libre, man. It was that free form.
It's acrobatic wrestling.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
The first thing in lucha libre, the first thing you're taught is how to tumble.
Yeah.
That's the first thing they
teach you how to fall. Yeah.
No.
How
to do the flips and how to do all the air.
They teach you tumbling.
Yeah. Then you learn the bumps and then the moves and stuff like that.
Oh, sure. Oh, it's exciting. Boy, and these people would just, go nuts. They went crazy. The little old ladies, they just ate it up. And the guys were all wearing masks. You didn't know who they were. They didn't care. You know, this guy, they were like superheroes to these people.
Yeah.
And and the kids. I mean, the one thing about wrestling that I've always admired was that wrestlers have always had this great relationship with these kids. They understood that the kids looked up to them, whether they were heels, whether they were heroes, it didn't really matter. And that was cool to me. You know, hell, when I was a kid, that's what I watched it for. You know, these were fictional characters that had come to life.
I've got many a Jerry Lawler autograph from when I was a child.
Sure,
I've got an autographed softball from when Lawler's Army played in a benefit game to put air conditioners in the Batesville Elementary School building when I was in maybe fifth grade, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
I was at North Delta, but my uncle was on the team they were playing, so I went to the game, and let's just say Lawler's team just waxed the floor with them.
You know, next time you guys come do the show, which is going to happen, we're going to have you guys back here in Radioland. I want to see if I can add Jerry to the conversation.
I would be okay with that.
I know you would. I mean, but to hear at this point the perspectives, because he's a guy that came up through the minors. If you did,
he did it he did it in the era of the territories.
Well, and that was a wholly different thing.
Right. That was the right way. The territories should have never went away. That was the right way to run it.
Yeah.
And
you drove from town to town with your team, and you did your thing, and you fought it the way it was supposed to be fought, and you worked the room, and you moved on.
Right.
Yeah.
That's like, I mean, you look at Memphis, which was, territory-wise, would run anywhere from Tupelo, Mississippi, to Evansville, Indiana.
So that was Memphis wrestling.
That was Memphis. Back in the day, that was CWA, USWA territory.
Yeah.
They would do what they would call Jones Boogie Rockinsaw every Saturday night. I mean, I only got to go once, but I went to me on the best possible time for me to have gone. I was in the sixth grade. I had spent the weekend with a buddy of mine. His parents were divorced, and we went up, stayed with his dad, came up to Memphis to stay.
Yeah.
And Lawler was doing a ticket giveaway for Monday night at an autograph signing.
Right.
So we go over, get the autograph signed, and everybody gets one ticket. And I look at him, and I said, Jerry, I said, can I please have another? He gives me another ticket. So I called my uncle, who was a big wrestling fan, and I said, look, I got two tickets for Monday night. I'll even buy dinner if you'll drive. Because, I mean, my dad wasn't going to go, wasn't a big fan. Mom wasn't going to do it. but it was for the Monday Night Memories card.
See, that's awesome.
That was Austin Idol. It was Terry Funk. I saw Terry Funk knock the hell out of Jerry Lawler with a piece of plexiglass from when the River King still played in the Coliseum. That is still, as far as my wrestling memories go,
That's got to be one of the last.
That's Mount Rushmore for me.
That's like one of the last matches they held in the Coliseum, I think, probably. Close.
One of the last ones that drew any money.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the last of note, you should say. Yeah. Well, and going back to the show, what you guys do, I know I like the way you guys kind of touch on it. You guys, what I love about what you guys do is you're critical of it. You're critical of wrestling, and I think it deserves it, and I think the fans themselves are critical of it themselves. But you guys voice what they're thinking,
right? I know at times we come off like bitter old veterans, but it's
that has its place, sure.
No, I'm just an asshole, pissed off fan. I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, if Vince expects to keep my attention
and
on
money.
WrestleMania Sunday, for a 7-hour show,
that is a lot. I mean, look at what NASCAR has turned into.
And then
it's
after
the same
that
thing.
7 hours, you've got 3 hours on Monday night.
Come back,
yeah.
It's like Thanksgiving. I'm done over with the turkey by Friday. You know, it's
right.
Yeah.
And then the pay per view money and all of the other.
Well, thank God for the network. I mean, since he started the WWE Network, $9.99 a month, you get the pay per views every month included.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
no.
The pay-per-views are included, so...
So for $100...
My wife hated it, but for $10 a month, I get every pay-per-view. They also have all the old WCW, the old WWF tapes, a lot of the old territory tapes that they bought out.
All the classic stuff,
are on there to watch.
So for $100 a year or so, for somebody who's a major fan of that entertainment... would be all up in it. Plus, like you said, the pay-per-views.
Even if you're not a pay-per-view, WrestleMania was getting upwards of, for the high def, was $59.95.
Oh, it's crazy. I thought it was even higher than that.
It may have been 65.
Like closer to 100, I was thinking, but I know boxing goes up there, but still.
But, you know, two to three pay-per-views a year would cost you, two pay-per-views really would cost you what you would pay to rent to get the network
every
month.
Well, and it was smart the way Vince set it up because you had the storylines that were going on TBS or TNT or whatever network that they were running, all the free stuff.
But
the culmination was going to happen in that pay-per-view.
Right.
And they were selling that pay-per-view long before that happened.
And back when it started, though, you were only selling four pay-per-views a year.
Oh, now it's monthly, isn't it?
Now it's, 14 a year, I think, is what his push is?
Something like that.
And that's not including additional specials that they'll run where they go to Saudi Arabia.
Right, which I know has been a weird point of contention.
Boy,
it has.
Because of the politics into that.
And the shows have been clusterfucks.
Yeah.
The top draws do not want to go to Saudi Arabia, and I don't blame them.
Well, yeah. Watch the news lately. It's crazy.
And on television, they've built most of the new brand, or what's popular now has been built around the women's division. And you go to Saudi Arabia, they can't even work a match.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think adding the ladies to the thing has been very good. I'm glad to see it. Ronda Rousey.
Gone.
Is she gone? I haven't followed it. I mean, what happened? She get her ass kicked? She get hurt? What's her deal?
She lost and she's...
Not a fan favorite?
No, she had recently turned heel because the fans were booing her because she wasn't... She was only showing up for the paper. She's doing exactly what Brock Lesnar was doing. Lesnar got $12 million to basically work 20 days last year. I would take that contract and they'd never see my ass near a wrestling ring again.
Sure.
But Ronda has said she wants to start a family, and she had suffered a broken hand in her WrestleMania match, but they were... For the first time in history, you had a women's main event at WrestleMania.
Right, right.
And that was big in the storyline. Now, the match itself didn't come off as well as it should have.
It could have been better, but for what it was good.
Yeah, it was watchable.
Right.
It was watchable, but there were other matches on that card that should have gone.
Well, yeah, you got a lot of hype that's built around Ronda. I mean, for God's sake, what she did in the octagon there and that all that was, she was a badass. I wouldn't want to tangle with her at all.
But it was funny if you saw the match. If you go, if you find it and go back and watch it, when she got counted out, she immediately turns around and starts yelling at the referee. And if you watch it, it looks like they botched a finish. They something, the referee counted a three that was not supposed to have been counted, something. Mm-hmm. And we even said that watching it live.
Because her shoulder was up.
But she acts the exact same way after that match as she did after she got knocked out in UFC. She turns into a damn crybaby.
Right.
She doesn't have the stomach to actually lose.
That, and that's just it. In wrestling, it's not just what goes on in and around the ring. There is all of this stuff that happens, you know, outside of it, away from the public. Although, I don't know if you want to call it choreographed or whatever you want, you know, however you want to, or scripting.
Predetermined.
There has to be a way to sell that, even if the audience understands that, you know. You know, that they understand that okay, it's kind of fixed. But there's a soap opera that goes along with it. That's the beauty of it.
It's a man soap opera. I've said that from day one.
I don't like the term soap opera. I prefer to call it athletic drama.
Right.
I think that's a more appropriate designation.
Sure. And it is, as it's called, it's entertainment. It's, you know, the World Wrestling Entertainment.
But, you know, the funny thing is Vince likes to say he coined the phrase sports entertainment.
Mm.
You can go back and watch.
I think ESPN coined that, didn't they?
You can go back and watch a Clash of the Champions from WCW or the NWA at the time around 86, 87.
Right.
And they designated it Ric Flair Day wherever they were having the event.
Right.
And the guy reading the proclamation says, whereas he is a huge star in sports entertainment. I'm like, oh, so wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Hold up here. Vince, what do you guys think about the XFL? What are your thoughts on that?
I'm curious to see how it's going to do this go around.
I had higher hopes for the AAF.
Well, didn't we all? But it was doomed from the beginning.
I mean, I thought Bill Polian being involved, I thought for sure. Think.
And Ebersol.
Yeah.
He had some NFL guys involved in this because, frankly, the NFL is unwatchable in my point of view. I can't watch it. It's just,
I'm a Falcons fan, so I won't say that. But,
well, if you're getting yardage on penalties now is almost it's its own record. I mean, this is stupid. You know, I mean, I grew up in a time where guys were playing with broken fingers and faces. You just, you know what? Take the face mask off the fucking helmets, and now you'll have football.
Well, they took the balls out of. They've taken the balls out of football.
They did,
and they did.
It's like NASCAR has gotten to be sort of a joke.
You can't hit the quarterbacks. You can't. I mean, it's
so Vince gets a hold of these rules and he says, "Hey, let's put together Smash Mouth football the way it was supposed to be." And so out comes the XFL, which lasted, I guess, was one season.
One season,
and it died of not as horrible a death as the AAF, but it's coming back now with the death of the AAF behind it, the NFL against the ropes with their problems. Do you think Vince has got a chance with this thing?
I think Vince has the money the AAF didn't have.
Money's a big part of it, but are they going to get fans?
I don't know. I mean, there's going to be some of us who watch it for the nostalgia factor of, oh, this... Because
it happened.
Yeah, it's been, about 20 years?
Not that long.
10 or 12,
yeah, maybe 15
Long
tops.
Enough for that generation to have kids and go, hey, kids, this is what I watched at one time.
Well, as long as he did away with that whole put the football at the 50 and start each one guy from each team in the end zone.
Like a dodgeball thing?
You run for the football.
You run for
That's how you get the kickoff. And I'm like, nah, put the kickoff back. And, I mean, hell, the NFL's even discussing getting rid of the kickoff. I mean, for God's sake.
Has been that. You know, it's just start on a kick, start on a coin flip, and then you start on the 20, and you get four downs, and then away you go. You know, do away with kicking in general.
That's what they do.
Why do you call
varsity.
It football?
Yeah. Junior varsity, yeah, because it's too dangerous.
Yeah, they'll start you out on the 20-yard line after the coin toss, and
away you go.
There you go.
Well, Memphis doesn't have an XFL team this time out, so.
No, but they had an AAF team that I...
It was sad.
I mean, come on, man. They got Johnny Football, dude.
I can't elaborate in too much detail. I almost had Johnny on this show.
I tried like hell to get Mike Singletary and couldn't get a response from the office.
Johnny almost agreed to do this through a mutual friend of my wife's, and it's a long, long story. But when that happened, the AAF folded. And Johnny took it on the chin in the media. I mean, in the back pages, because it was like this, oh, Johnny Football comes to town. Oh, it's all your fault. You ruined it. And it was, and it's not that at all. I mean, you have to cut Johnny a little slack. I mean,
right.
He got kicked out of the NFL. He got kicked out of the CFL.
You got to be a pretty big fuck up to get kicked out of the CFL.
And who knows what the hell happened, because nobody's talking there.
Ricky Williams was smoking all kind of weed, and they were still letting him
Exactly. It's like he ran like a concentration camp in Canada or something, whatever. And he winds up in the AAF, rolls the dice on him. Right when I thought that they were going to go and pick up, you know, some of these other guys that have been thrown out of the NFL before. You know, the Kneelers. Let's talk about that.
Well, Vince has reached out to Kaepernick,
and that was an issue with the AAF. Was it $250,000 a year? I think they were going to pay the AAF guys.
I think so.
And they're like, Colin, if we gave you $5 million a year, would you do it? And he said, no, I wouldn't do it. So if Vince is reaching out to Kaepernick, Kaepernick's still got some miles in the tank.
But is going to the XFL going to violate that settlement that he made with the NFL?
It depends on the settlement itself. No one's talking. And that was part of that deal. That may be the issue. The AAF guys signed a deal that said they could not go to the XFL, but they could go to the NFL.
And then the AAF at one point approached Vince about a merger.
See, it's just like Blockbuster and Netflix all at the same time. It's crazy. It's nuts. I know you guys get into some of this stuff on your show as well, with the Heavyweight Chumps, which is available all over the place.
Yeah, we finally got on Spotify.
It took a moment, didn't it?
Yeah,
we just did the same thing. Yeah. Over the shows that you've done, you've been doing it for how long again? Would you how long?
16 months.
16 months almost. Yeah. A year and a half, nearly. Two shows a week now.
Yeah.
We're
coming up on episode 100. We're about, I'd say, about 5 or 6 episodes behind.
Not bad at all.
And most don't make it past 10, apparently. I didn't realize that.
There's a lot of that, yeah. Because you guys are kind of guest-driven. I know you guys have a lot of guests. What's been your favorite guest, do you think, so far?
Ooh.
And don't mention me, for
Christ's sake. I'm throwing your ass out because you're sitting here.
Yeah, because I'm sitting here.
That's like I asked him the other night. We had an actress who... If you look on Amazon Prime, there's a couple of movies called Hayride and Hayride 2. They're independent horror films. And we had the lead actress on.
Really?
And the weigh-in that we did that day was our three favorite Scream Queens. I asked him off the air, I said, all right, who are yours? And he put her on the list, and I'm like, damn it, you can't do that. Quit putting the guest on the list.
Right.
And he's like, but I can only think of, like, one. I'm like, wait a minute.
Right.
So, but for me, favorite guests, there's a stand-up comic who hosts his own podcast and is a huge film buff. His name's Rick Ramos, who I originally discovered on the Church of What's Happening Now, which is Joey Diaz.
Right. I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This was on Joey's podcast. Rick was a regular on there for a good while, started his own. I was a listener. Rick and I had communicated over Messenger like you and I had.
Sure.
And I reached out to him and I said, listen, I said, I'm thinking about starting a podcast. I said, would you consider coming on as a guest? And he said, man, anytime you need me, I'm there. And we've had him on a couple times. We're setting up to kind of have him on again.
Yeah.
I put Rick up there. Another one that I really enjoyed was Matt Penfield.
Right.
Matt Penfield was a lot of fun.
That's good.
Who you got?
I'm going to have to say Steve Cox and Muck Sticky.
Yeah, it's
Muck hard. Is great.
Muck is great.
Muck's a great guy. Talented, too.
And Al Capone.
Yeah, oh, Al, God, Al's yeah. Great. Al's great.
I can say we've only had one guest that never made it to air.
Really?
And that was because he tried to take over my fucking show.
Really? Like a hostile takeover?
That's what I'd call it.
Yeah.
Basically tried to put us into our place and tell us how we were going to do it. I got through recording, and I looked at him, and I said, that's never going on the air.
Well, I'll be damned.
And oddly enough, he used to run a wrestling company here in this town.
Well, goodness. All right, we'll leave it at that. I don't want to get anybody in any more trouble than that.
But I would say those several filmmakers have been a blast. But
you had a very honest way of when I was asking you about, you know, how you book your guests, and it's the same way that, and it's the same road that you and I travel down. It's like social media has made everybody accessible. All you have to do is ask. What's the worst they're going to do? Ignore you or say no? You know, and both are just as bad. But you never know what's going to happen. Somebody's going to, yeah, I don't want to do that, you know?
I never expect you to say yes. I didn't expect Matt Penfield to say yes.
Really?
We didn't expect to hear back from Henry Rollins.
No, we didn't.
Y'all had Henry on the show?
We haven't had him on the show, but we did get a response to an email.
What did it say, if I don't mind me asking?
We had a guy on who is known as the First Ladies Man.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy's girlfriend actually is Heather, who is the traffic girl for iHeartRadio.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy had met Henry because he's from the D.C. area. And he said, you know, yeah, if anybody emails Henry, he responds. I'm like, I'm going to test this theory. So I found his email, and I just sent him a message. I'm like, listen.
And he wrote back.
Would you consider being on the show?
Yeah.
And he said, look, I can't. I'm out of the country.
That's
but
fine.
I appreciate you reaching out. Yeah. And all I could think was, well, I'm going to try again at some point, because at least I'll have another story of, hey, I got another email from Henry Rollins.
Why not? Henry's an interesting cat.
Yeah, he is.
He really
His
is.
His spoken word acts.
Oh, it's fascinating.
Yes.
I saw him at the Daisy when the Daisy was a thing. But yeah, you know.
Watch his new special that's on Showtime On Demand.
Okay.
Forget what it was called.
I can't remember.
But it's, he talks about being on stage in Washington, D.C. the night of the election.
Oh, my.
And he wasn't getting the crowd response he thought he should get.
Oh, I would imagine.
And he's
so,
like,
yeah.
I didn't realize what was going on. And he said to him, did I suck? Was I that bad? And he said, no, the Donald Trump was being named president of the United States as you were on stage.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I remember that night when that happened. I sat in my chair with a drink in my hand going, this is incredible.
And poured yourself another one.
This is incredible. I mean, it was. I don't want to get too much into the politics, but yeah,
we
it was.
We don't.
It
no,
was,
that's our rule is no politics.
It's, you know, I will dabble in it if it's something that you know, you have. Sometimes you can't ignore the elephant in the room. If there's something that is really massive that has happened, you have to, you know. If you don't, then people are going to go, oh, you guys are out of touch. You know, people are picky like that. But we've gotten so divided, I think, as a country. And,
you're right.
And, you know, the way I look at it with Radio Memphis and with even this little dog and pony show, that this is a distraction for that. And I use that word in a good way. We all need to be removed from some of the shit that's happening mm-hmm. in the world, even if it's just for a few moments, to kind of cleanse your palate a little bit and find. And that's what I like about what you guys are doing. I think you guys' show is fantastic. I really do.
I appreciate that, because I mean it's time consuming to say the least. Because
all right, before I pause, because we're going to pause here in just a minute. But before I pause, I want somebody to explain to me what the fuck Thunder Cookies is all about.
Nope.
I knew this was going to come up at some point because Thunder Cookies, because there's a Twitter handle involved in this. There's what the fuck is a Thunder Cookie?
Okay, there's a story that goes along with it, but
one of you two guys have got to tell the story.
All right, you've got to tell the story.
I've got to tell the story because it involves me.
Of course it does.
But a guest of ours who's a friend of the guy that actually took like 3 months to edit the episode is from Massachusetts, and he referred to something as Thunder Cookies, and he just got designated. Until that point, I was calling him Computer Bitch, but he wouldn't let me use he wouldn't be Computer Bitch for a Twitter handle. So,
well, there's that. Yeah. So Thunder Cookies stuck.
Thunder Cookies stuck.
All right. So what is a Thunder Cookie, or has that even been defined?
No, it's been defined.
Yeah. Should I tell the whole story?
How much time we got?
Well, I'd like to hear. Go ahead. Sally, you're taping. I'm sorry. I was going to have you make a cocktail here for me. No, she's taping in a minute.
Damn it. Why didn't I think to bring the tripod? I bought a new tripod.
Actually, we've got a mic stand with it. I'm using it with a clip that's. But go ahead, Thunder Cookies. Because I giggle when I hear that because it sounds so, you know, puerile and juvenile, and it's cute and it's fun. But I know there's something horribly nefarious about this. And clearly when I brought it up, the two of y'all just go nuts over this whole thing. So there's a deep, dark secret behind this that I think
is... Oh, no, it was explained on an episode.
Well...
Yeah, and
should we tell them to go to that episode? Or
No,
it's worth telling.
Yeah, it's worth hearing again.
All right, tell it.
The guy shall remain nameless.
Like hell. There's a guy that was stooping his ex-wife.
Okay.
Yeah, they got a kid together now. But anyway.
At the time, congratulations. Yeah. Mazel tov. Yeah, go on.
Well, they had went... And she's a wrestler, too.
Okay.
My ex-wife is. And
I bet that was fun.
Oh, never, it never, was. Never. It was loads of fun.
He's got two kids. He pinned her at least twice.
She may have pinned him at least one of those times, you know.
Tap out, son. It's easier that way.
I should have learned. But they had went to, I think, Nashville. To do a taping for MLOW, which does custom taping, send in your
script. Right.
Well, they had went up there, and we had a benefit the next day. I had rode with my friend up there, and I was staying night at a friend's house, had both of the kids with me, and she's like, you're going to have to bring the kids here, or, you know,
thank
I can't.
You, Sally.
I think she even gave you a floater.
I can't
oh,
meet
that's
you.
Cool.
We were at Pizza Hut in Boonville. She says, I can't meet you. I'm like, yes, you can. It's right on the way. My back seat's full of stuff. You promised me you were picking the kids up.
Right.
You're going to pick the kids up. I have no room for them to stay the night with me where I'm staying.
Right.
She shows up in a huff.
A four-door huff.
In a minute and a huff.
Well, he gets on the phone. He takes the phone from him. Says, you're bringing the kids to the house, right? I said, fuck no. You're coming and getting them. Hung up. They show up. They're in a tizzy. Everybody's like, what's wrong with you? So I tell them the story. And I'm fighting mad because he had cussed me. And I'm like, you know, he threatened numerous times.
And
I'm
I've known this guy
ass.
As long as he has. He's an asshole.
He said, I won't whoop your ass.
Not so this. Far during this show he has. He's been fine.
And, he shows up. I'm looking for my son's backpack in the car because it's got his glasses in it. And she had parked right next to me.
Okay.
She goes in Pizza Hut to get the kids. He's standing out on the passenger side of the car, one leg in. And this was after a show. And as we tend to do after a show, we'll all pile out and shoot the shit for another 10, 15, 20 minutes and I'll go our separate way.
Sure, sure.
They come out, and he's like, oh, I see how you motherfuckers are. You've packed up for this fat son of a bitch. It's no count over here, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I looked at him. I said, look, what me and her decide to do with the kids is mine and her business, not yours. You may be the boyfriend, but those are mine and her kids.
And I can testify he can count.
At least to three.
Yeah. I said, You ain't got a dog in this fight, basically.
Right, right.
He says, boy, I'll come over and slap the shit out of you. I threw my glasses in the trunk. Motherfucker, I've been waiting for goddamn years for this shit, and I'm coming around.
Wow, balls to attack a wrestler.
He's a wrestler, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, he is. Oh, you should have been out there selling tickets to this.
I could have announced it and made a killing.
I tell you.
Before I can make it.
Can we book the rematch for the Memphis show?
We actually get along now. We actually get along now.
And the guy he's talking about has worked Lawler.
Okay.
Before I could make it to him,
yeah.
To give him these thunder cookies, the fists.
Uh-huh. That's where that comes from.
No. Well, that's where it comes from. But the guy from Massachusetts heard the story, and he goes, I thought maybe it referred to your pendulous nutsack.
That's a bit of a stretch, but...
No,
I haven't. And please do not show them now. Keep that shit to yourself, man.
See, you didn't know what you were getting into.
Good
idea, honey.
Yeah, but I get it. Okay, these thunder... You're holding a fist up these thunder cookies. Okay.
Yeah, and before I could get to him...
Yeah.
He has jumped in the car, locked the door... He tells everybody I had a tire tool in my hand. There's 20 people standing outside that saw it was nothing but two fists.
Yeah. Catch these.
That's right.
Yeah.
But me and him get along now.
Well, that's good, I suppose.
In that he's around your kids all the time.
Well, there's that. But okay, so it's really it's such a fun couple of words to work together, Thunder Cookies. But when you understand it, and the point of it's a couple of fists, it's a couple of ham hocks. Come eat this knuckle sandwich type thing. It's these Thunder Cookies. That's brilliant. I love that.
See, that's I think
it's wonderful.
As soon as it got said, I looked at him. I said, "You've got to change your damn Twitter handle."
Yeah, Thunder Cookies. And it's good because when I kept hearing this, I'm like, "This is hilarious. What is this? What is this all about?" And then I'm thinking it's probably some wrestling parlance. I'm just the dumbass that hasn't figured it out. And of course, when I bring it up to you two, and you guys lose your shit right here on the show. So. That explains that.
Unfortunately, you know, I was being raised where I was. My father's nickname in life was Pecker, and I was Pecker Jr., which pissed my brother off because he's older, and they called him Little Pecker. No, you can't have that.
On that, I'm going to pause. We're going to hit this break, and we're going to give the promo. When we come back, we're going to play favorites.
All right.
Playing favorites is a fun thing here because we get accused at Radio Memphis of playing favorites, which we don't. But I'm going to give you guys, it's the game that you cannot lose. I'm going to ask you five of your favorite things, and we'll just have some fun with it. Plus, I want your perspectives on a couple of things. So we got a little bit more with these guys. It's the Heavyweight Chumps, kids. More right here from Radioland. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Reverend Oma from the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop. The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical needs, such as candles, gemstones, herbs, gifts, and more. We now also stock CBD oil, vape kits, lotion, and edibles. The Broom Closet is also host to monthly workshops, rituals, and drum circles for those interested in conscious living. The Broom Closet is the only place to get your cards read by me, Reverend Oma, or one of our other amazing readers. Discover the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop in historic downtown Memphis or online at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, let us help you light your path.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
You know, it is sort of strange when you're cruising through some type of a social media site, you know, like Facebook or Reddit's another good example. And you find, you know, somebody will make a post and it'll be something it's actually quite creative, unique. It's fun. It's original material. It's funny. And then lo and behold, somebody starts stealing it and reposting it as their own. People go, well, why are they doing this? Is this something? Why is this such a new thing? It's not new. People have been doing this forever. There hasn't been an original thought in any type of creative industry in a long, long time. That's why when something seems somewhat successful, everybody begins to copy it. Everybody begins to just rip chunks off of it and just blatantly claim it as their own. And when they get called out, oh, yeah, Scherfende is a German word that means, oh, yeah, I'm digging the fact that you got caught because, you know, you're a bastard.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
All right, you guys heard what's coming up next time here on the old program. Here in the midst of this one, episode 2-something.
We're sorry.
we got him drunk.
We're sorry. No, I don't know what it is. I don't have my notes in front of me. But it's the Heavyweight Chumps. You guys, thank you so much for coming in and doing this show.
Man, we'd do this again in a heartbeat. Yeah,
I'm going to have you guys back on because this is so much fun. And there's, I know there's a lot of ground we didn't cover just by virtue of time. You guys, the Heavyweight Chumps is the show. It's everywhere you get your podcast, right? Spotify, iTunes.
We are not on iHeartRadio.
Well, thank Christ. you and I have something in common. But you guys are out there. You're doing two a week out there. Was it Tuesdays, Thursdays?
We drop on Mondays and Thursdays.
Mondays and Thursdays. And so there you go. Go get the show. Social media, where can they find you? Because I know you guys are real active in Twitter.
On Twitter, you
can find... Thunder Cookies.
He is he's at HWC Devin Reigns, which is Thunder Cookies' account. If you're looking for the show proper, we are at Mad Fat Loud, which fits us absolutely perfectly.
I think so, yeah.
That's also our social media for... We have a Tumblr account where I update a blog once a month.
Is that still a thing, Tumblr?
I do a monthly blog just because I enjoy the writing side of it on occasion.
Yeah, yeah.
But we do that. It's at Mad Fat Loud for Instagram. Facebook is just search for the Heavyweight Chumps.
Yeah.
We also have our fan page on Facebook, which is the Chumpamaniacs.
Chumpamaniacs.
Well, it used to be the Beer Gut Brotherhood, but my wife felt like that was ruling out the women.
Sally.
I, on the other hand, said, well, we can refer to the girls as the chubby chasers, but she didn't like that idea.
No, yeah,
so,
no, no.
So I said, well,
and she's lovely. She's been tending bar this evening. We love you to death, Sally. Thank you so much for coming around and being a part
of
this.
She learned honestly. I can.
She's been shooting some video down here, too, so... Not very good, but you can do with it what you'd like. I don't have a problem with that at all. So yeah, go find the Heavyweight Chumps, kids, and add it to your collection of shows. And it's great entertainment. And I appreciate you guys coming down here. I wanted to ask you your perspective. What do you think is the? I guess I don't know. For lack of being, I don't know, too weird. The future of this genre of show, of podcasting. I know we've talked a little bit about radio and how weird and messed up that has turned into, but what do you guys think about this? What do you think is the, is there a way to make it better? Is there a way to make it more enjoyable, or do you think it's fine the way it is? You guys know how I feel about it.
Much like you've said in a previous interview, radios are about to be non-existent in cars. Everything you listen to is going to be coming off of a hotspot or off of your phone played through your radio. I can tell you the entire trip up here, radio station didn't get tuned in. Everything ran straight off our Spotify.
Sure.
And I think that's what everyone else is seeming to do. I think podcasts, in a way, could be the death knell for talk radio.
It already has been for morning drive radio, you know, and we talked about it when I was on your show, you know, what I think ultimately did in the morning drive shows, the wacky, you know, Taco Pants and Chewbacca shows, that's all dead and gone. You know, Howard Stern, I think, is existing just specifically because it's Howard.
He's done.
And he's kind of done, yeah.
He announced his retirement, so yeah. I mean.
Well, he's damn near 70.
Yeah, I mean, it's time for him to go home, but I mean,
why not? Yeah, he's made his mark. He's done his thing. Yeah,
my way of looking at it was, when I looked at doing a podcast, I didn't want to do just the two guys talking, sitting around,
telling inside jokes and stories.
Yeah, doing the inside jokes that only 10 to 15 people are going to get.
Right. If that.
My goal was to approach this, as I said when you were on our show, the way that you and Dennis approached Afternoon Drive.
Right.
I wanted to approach this just like it was an Afternoon Drive radio show because, honestly, my happy ass is not getting up in time for morning drive.
Me neither.
So,
and I do a morning show at Radio Memphis. It's it doesn't work out that
hey,
well.
If you ever need a fill-in.
Don't tempt me. It's no, and I think you're right. I think there's a lot that's going on here that's the industry that, I don't know, technology has changed so much. I mean, you know how the internet has taken over everything. It's killed retail business. It's
killing television.
It is. Television is they're doing a fairly decent job of trying to keep up thanks to the streaming services and the Hulus and the Netflix. Even though Netflix is now its own thing, you know, they're creating so many new programs over there.
But all these apps are going to $10 our asses to death.
Well, and that's the point. And now there's going to be bundling, and now you're going to be back in that cable boat again.
Well, and from what I recently heard, not necessarily radio, but in talking TV, Disney has approached Hulu about buying the last 30% of Hulu.
Yeah.
And with their Disney Plus app, if they buy Hulu, Disney just became a tremendously major player.
They already are.
Well, they already are because of their back catalog. But you add what they've got, what Hulu already offers.
Right.
And Netflix could kiss their ass goodbye as far as I'm concerned.
It could be that way. I don't know. Not everybody's such a big Disney fan either, you know.
I can agree with that. But I mean, I'm not as big a Disney fan as I am a Star Wars fan or a Fox fan.
Well, to put it into perspective, and you bring up a good point, if you, especially like in sports, that's been the weird part of streaming television is getting sports. Right?
And Amazon Prime recently started streaming the Thursday night football games.
Right. And Hulu is doing a lot of that as well. When you look at something like one of the old stalwarts, like ESPN, mm-hmm. then you realize it's owned by ABC. ABC is owned by Disney. Disney is this massive thing that has taken over all of that.
Disney now essentially owns every bit of football except for the AFC.
I know, isn't it weird?
Because they own college football on ABC.
Yeah.
They've got Monday Night Football over on ESPN.
Yeah.
And they own Fox.
Yeah.
So Disney owns football now.
Yeah. They own Fox, and now they own ABC.
Now, can we please, for fuck's sake, get Goofy on the air to replace Terry Bradshaw?
That's a viable point. I think we need to go ahead and start a petition to make that happen. I'm with you. No, I'm a guy that grew up in the three or four channel television thing. You know, you were your old man's remote. You know, the rabbit ears and stuff like that. And now we're in this day and age where if there's something that you really want, you don't have to go far to find it. It's all there.
But we're in a day and age now where he recently moved out on his own. He calls me and goes, can you even buy an antenna anymore?
Yeah, you can.
I mean, hell.
Yeah, I'm digital antennas.
I don't know.
Yeah, you can. And I tell you, when my wife and I cut the cable at the house, it was the best move we had ever made because we saved like $150-$200. So I bought a TiVo box, right? And it has four tuners in it. I connect that to an aerial, right, a digital antenna. I get all the local channels, anything that's around there, because when you have, say, like channel 5, you have 5.1, 5.2, and 5.0. So you can tape to your heart's content sports, whatever, because the wife likes to tape some games because she can't necessarily watch them, so she gets that. Plus, we have the streaming setup through Roku, which gives us another million channels of just crap.
Right.
And as a wrestling fan, that also gives you Jarrett Parsons Entertainment, which now has the old Memphis and some of the old world class wrestling coming on that network.
Mm-hmm. So it's there. Now, are we going to wind up bundling all this back up and $8, $9 a month, you know, nickel and dime us to death? Are we back into that boat again or what?
Well, in all honesty, you're going to pay that much for your damn internet service to be able to stream it.
It can be, yeah. Depending on the deal you get. Yeah.
Honestly, the smart move is what you've done.
To a point. I mean, one of our biggest expenses is Sling television, and it's $20 a month. But I get like 30 channels. But that includes CNN, two or three of the ESPN.
Now, see, my fat ass needs Food Network.
Food Network is on it. Food Network.
Mark that down.
Food Network, Sally Food TV is up there. There's some other. There's a bunch of. Look online about it. I'm not here to pimp them, but you know that's kind of. There's ways around it for right now until we move along.
There's no pimping in Memphis.
Pimping in Memphis? Are you kidding? We invented pimping.
Pimping ain't easy. Which hard by out the, here for a pimp.
Which by the way, head on over to Ernestine and Hazel's and get a burger and a beer. It's time to play faves. Kids, I'm going to ask you some questions here, your favorite stuff. It's the game you can't lose. You guys can either do it as a team or individually. We'll start with this. What is the heavyweight chump's famous, or favorite rather, finishing move?
Mine.
We got to say we're going to have to do these separate.
Yeah.
That's fine. No, that's fine.
Mine, as far as what I used in my repertoire.
Yeah, what was yours?
It was a air raid crash.
Sirens and everything?
That's a fall off the top rope.
No. White Noise, Celtic Cross, Modest Bomb, different names for it.
Take the guy up into a fireman's carry, put his head under your under your arm, and sit down with him.
From the floor, from the center of the ring, right?
Yeah. Right.
So you got to you're picking him up.
Across your back.
Yeah,
upside down, and you land on your butt.
Oh, and his head's and lower than his feet.
Right, yeah.
And then you bang his head into the...
Right.
And it's called a what?
Air raid crash, but I called it the afternoon delight.
Well. You know, I drive
it's
down Lamar
Avenue. It's the only afternoon delight he ever had.
I drive down Lamar Avenue all the time, but I never see anybody advertising for that. I got you. What about you?
For me, as a huge tag team fan. I was a Midnight Express fan. The rocket launcher. It was Bobby Eaton on the top rope. Stan Lane would come over, and it's for Memphis fans, Stan Lane of the Fabulous Ones.
Yeah.
Come over, pick Bobby up, shoot him off with like a, you know, just a, it's a flying body press with a assist.
Yeah. Okay. I got you. Got the job done.
Yeah.
And the crowd goes crazy.
Of course.
Of course.
If they were the heels, they didn't, but you know.
But it's part of the magic of it. What's your favorite movie?
Oh shit.
I can answer that one easy. The Princess Bride.
I'm with you on that. I like that movie a lot. Is it? It's not because of Andre, of course. But there's so much to that film.
Right. It's very well written. It's very well acted, and you really, you can really feel what's going on in the movie.
It's a sweet story.
Yes, as you wish.
It's inconceivable.
I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yes.
I hate the movie.
Do you really?
Yes.
Why?
My brother was a huge fan. He watched it relentlessly when I was younger.
Yeah.
I saw it so many times, I got sick of it.
Really?
Yeah. It was only, what, two years ago maybe that I finally watched it again.
That's fair. I spent 14 years as a classic rock DJ in this town, and I could go the rest of my life without hearing another goddamned Bob Seger song.
I can agree with that one, too.
Yeah.
It's Def Leppard
for me. If you'd have said the Eagles, we were going to have to fight, but I can live with you on the other.
I hate the Eagles.
Oh, shit, you just lost the bartender.
I'm so sorry, but however, the documentary that they did.
Oh, the Showtime documentary? The Eagles, the two-parter?
Yeah, that big, long, four-hour thing. Yeah. That was actually quite good, and I had a little more respect for him, but I guess a lot of it was because I had spent so much time with that music, and it was like, okay, come on, enough.
On the other hand, Henley still comes off as a dick.
He does, because he is.
Just because you got one doesn't mean you got to be one.
Favorite movie for me, I can narrow down to two. I can't give you one.
That's fine.
One, my wife is not going to like this answer, but she's going to have to live with it. Is a movie called The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Never heard of it.
It's an independent film starring Ezra Miller, who played the Flash in the Justice League film.
Right.
And it's a coming-of-age movie. Melanie Linsky's in it. There's a couple of the people from The Vampire Diaries. As a coming-of-age teenage film, it was the most realistic approach I'd ever seen done.
Like that. Beyond like a John Hughes type of thing?
Yes. Yeah. This was a... It was one of those... And Emma Watson was probably the biggest name in the...
Sure.
But it was... Issue is, it can send you into a dark place because the lead actor's character, the way he plays it, he deals with a lot of depression, a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm.
And as dealing with anxiety and depression myself, it tends to trick a few triggers. Now, she doesn't like she will not let me watch it anymore.
Right.
The wife has said, no, you cannot watch that. Now, aside from that movie, it's Almost Famous.
Oh, yeah.
I loved Almost Famous.
Yeah, that's a fun film, yeah.
Because that's what I wanted to do when I was in high school and college.
Yeah.
Didn't think it was realistic for a kid from Mississippi to do that kind of shit.
Well, sure, why not?
Well, you know, you didn't think, you know,
just because you're from Mississippi doesn't mean that you can't follow your dreams.
That's what we're doing now, even though it's on podcasting, but hey, it's a shot.
You know, I got my real start as a broadcaster in Mississippi.
You started WTVA.
I did.
That's right. Did you know Did you know the weatherman that whipped
John
the other
DeLucic.
Guy's ass?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I knew John. John and I worked together. Yeah. He's still there.
Did
John.
He have that temper?
Are you talking about the guy that was on the air?
Yes. Yeah.
That was not John. John was the guy he was bitching about.
Okay.
John was, and I know John, and that guy that was doing that, you know,
Matt Lobhon?
Yeah. He needs to be fired. He needs to be drawn and quartered. He needs to be tarred and feathered. He needs to be buried in the four corners of this country. You don't treat people that way, especially your coworkers like that. Not on live television. In the midst of a fucking thunderstorm and tornado activity.
I'm sitting here across from the pirate of radio thinking, how the hell was he ever on TV? Yeah.
I was.
Did you have the
Fu
Manchu?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. This is before the mustache and the ponytail.
Ah.
That's right. I can tell you this story.
Are there pictures?
Oh yeah, they're out there. when I left there, I was going to the ABC affiliate in Topeka, Kansas, where I ultimately met Austin Onick. And
that's why you guys have such a natural rapport.
Yeah, because we work together. And before I left TVA, it was the 10 o'clock news. It was my last show, and I got out. And it was a running gag that I would often do the show. I would do the 10 o'clock news without wearing any pants. because you know you're just a, yeah. And there were times because that studio that we had at the time, we were in the shed and there were raccoons literally running across the light racks and it was nuts. And my co-anchor, and I'm not going to name her because she's sweet and she's wonderful and I love her to death, but I'm not going to embarrass her any further. But she would always come in very late to the show, like a couple of seconds before the open would start. And I'm already out there sitting in there and I've already mic'd up and I got the makeup on and I'm going through my scripts. And she comes running into the studio and I took my pants and I laid them across the desk and I said, be careful coming back here. This is my last show and I'm not wearing any pants. And she freaked out. Of course, it was a joke. I was actually wearing shorts at the time, but I pulled the pants down. We come on, we do the show. We get through the whole show. At one point, about halfway through it, she took a lighter and lit my scripts on fire, which was big. trying to maintain a straight face through that. And at the end of the show, I had a pair of earrings, and I laid them on the desk, and I said, before I go, I slid them across the desk, and I said, you left those on my bedside table last night. I figured you probably would like to have them back.
Damn!
Her husband was not too pleased with it, but, you know, nevertheless, it was big fun. But, yeah, I kind of miss those days. Tupelo was such a wonderful town.
It was good TV. I think I know who you're talking about,
though. Yeah, we'll just leave it at that, will you please?
I'll ask you afterwards.
Yes, absolutely. What's your favorite meal, fellas? What do you like to tuck into? What's, if it were your last meal, if it's you're headed to the electric or the gas chamber it is in Mississippi, what are you going to hit? What do you got to have?
Eel sushi.
Sushi Jimmy on Poplar. They have it. Go.
Yes. Eel sushi?
Eel sushi is delicious. I know what you're at.
Yeah. I don't do the sushi thing.
You know what I mean? Oh, come on. It's called bait where you're from. I know.
Yeah, exactly. For me, oh, damn, this is a tough one.
Really?
Yeah.
That's because he's fat.
Oh, you're no lightweight asshole.
But I can name a favorite.
For me, if I'm going absolute last meal.
Yeah. What is it?
It's a barbecue platter from Memphis Barbecue Company in South Haven.
I gotcha. Yeah.
I go with, I add the half a slab of ribs.
All right.
I get the pulled pork and I get the brisket. I get the barbecue spaghetti and the fries on the side. And I hope to God my wife orders this barbecued meatloaf so that I can have about half of that. And I will tell you this, if you have never had the barbecued meatloaf from Memphis Barbecue Company.
I'll have to add it to my list.
Have the barbecued meatloaf.
Yeah.
When you finish that, when they come around and they ask you for dessert.
Yeah.
Tell them, because if I'm going to name a full meal, it's going to include dessert.
Yeah.
You want the donut bread pudding.
Donut bread pudding.
They take Gibson's donuts. Shipley's donut. Shipley's donut.
I thought she said Chitlin's for a second. I was like, what the hell kind of donut?
Chitlin's donuts. What
aberration is this shit?
But yeah.
Wow.
You take.
You got to suck on them until you taste mustard. That's how you know they're clean.
But you take Shipley. They take Shipley's donuts.
Yeah.
They've got apples that they like cooked apples they cook up into them too.
Probably a little caraway or something.
Yeah, and then they throw the ice cream and the whipped cream on the top. And
ooh, girl,
we got it for the first time. I'd never tried it before.
You got laid, didn't
look,
you?
Look, we were trying it. No,
Shelly's like, no, fuck that.
She had a spoon. She said, okay, let's try it. Because I didn't think I would like bread pudding at all.
Right, right, right.
So I've got my spoon. She's got her spoon. And I take
it. It didn't
bite.
Have the whiskey sauce, did it?
Yes, it did.
It did it really?
I take a bite. And she starts noticing that the more bites I take, the more it starts easing to my side of the table.
where is this place again?
Memphis Barbecue Company in South Haven.
They have that, yeah. The Shipley's Donut Bread Pudding.
Bread pudding. It is one of the, it is, it's better than sex.
You're not doing it right.
No, I'm doing it right. Trust me.
She shook her head.
Truth is now being told, folks.
No, you're not doing the
donut was tighter.
No, she meant the
I'm leaving.
My damn. Oh, for the love of God, we're not done with the show yet. Please. All right, no obligations. You got nothing going on. It's a Friday night. What's your favorite thing to do?
Play video games.
Yeah, what's your favorite game?
God of War.
God of War. That's a good game. Yeah.
I'm... Friday night, nothing to do.
No obligations.
No obligation. Sit me.
You've already pissed her off because apparently you're going to have to deal with this tonight.
Sit me in a movie theater by myself and leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah. Have you seen the new Avengers?
No, I don't really care to see superhero team up 12.
You know, I agree with you on this. I could.
I'm more excited about John Wick 3.
I hear you. I hear you.
You've got to Google Thanos.
Have I you did, done, and you
yeah, hit
the,
okay.
And half the page goes away. Yeah. It's clever. It's absolutely clever.
Ah. Yeah, for me, a movie theater by myself. I don't want anybody else in there.
I was living in Seguin, Texas, in 1987, and I think it was the film Platoon had come out.
Ooh,
right. It was right around that time, and I went to go see. I was going to college there, and I went to the theater to go see this. And I was the only guy in the movie theater.
Did you get laid?
I was the only guy in the movie theater.
So, yes.
So, yes. So, right before the movie
started. So, you went to Pee Wee's Playhouse is what you're saying. Nah.
Right before the lights get dim, I hear this voice behind me, and it's the projectionist, and he stuck his head through the little window, and he goes, "Hey!
Put it up!
Are you ready to start the movie?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure, why not? I'm not in the best seat in the house." And he goes, "Hang on a minute." And he starts this thing, and he comes in, and he brings out a case of beer, two 12-packs. And me and the projectionist watched this film. He'd seen it like 1,000 times.
Yes.
And every time he'd elbow me, he goes, "Watch this." And so at the long story short, by the end of the film, he goes, "You got anywhere else to go?" And I'm like, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "I'm going to start another film." And we wound up watching another movie. He goes, "You're the only one here. Man, I got nowhere else to be." So we wound up watching some other film. I forget what it was. We had such a big time. And it's really cool to be able to see. And you probably have had that happen where you're basically the only guy in the theater.
It happened to me. You remember when the movie Dracula 2000 came out?
Oh, God, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. What a.
I wanted to see that movie desperately. Mm-hmm. I think as far as a Dracula tale, because of the originality and the twist that they put to the film, I thought it was brilliant.
Right.
It could have been shot better. Could have been a little bit paced differently.
Right.
But as far as Dracula movies, it's probably one of my favorites.
Sure.
But I go to a little theater. It's a 4-screen theater. I've known the family since...
Little shoebox joint.
I've known the family since I was 3.
Right.
You know, I go in and I'm the only person sitting there. And I sit in the last row against the wall. The projectionist, whose grandmother owns the place, comes over to me and goes, "You're the only one in here. You want to watch this?" I'm like, "I paid for my ticket. Turn the damn movie on."
"Yeah, I paid for my ticket, motherfucker."
He goes, "All right." I said, "You mind if I smoke?" He goes,
"You mind if I drink?"
"Nah." He goes, "Nah, not at all." I said, "You mind if I go get a beer before you start it?" He goes, "How long is it going to take you?" I said, "Well, I got to go to Como because you're dry." He goes, "I got a 6-pack in the car." I'm like, "Well, just bring it and watch with me."
"Bring it and I'll pay you for
yeah,
it."
Yeah, I bought his 6-pack, sat there and watched Dracula 2000, smoked 3 or 4 cigarettes, sat there and just... So enjoyable. It is.
There's.
Yeah, it's.
I wish everybody in the world could get that experience to sit in this big theater when you're by yourself.
You basically get it now because you've got everybody's got such a nice home theater system.
Yeah, but
it's still not the same.
It's not the same as being in that.
That's what she doesn't get.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I can't tell you the last time I've been to a movie theater, but I do get it. You know, and I totally understand that whole vibe. Finally, fellas, we talked about it when I was a guest on your show. Your favorite cocktails, your favorite beverages. I think I know where you're going with this.
Oh, pina colada.
The pina colada. You're right about this because I love the taste of coconut and I love rum. And I will tell you this, coming from experience, if you get the chance to go to Central America, which I highly recommend you do, and it's cheap to go, they make government, there's a special government-made rum down there, the Commemorativo. Mm-hmm. Mix that with a little coconut. Shit.
Oh.
It is awesome. It is very, very good. And they squeeze just a little bit of lime in there to curdle that coconut milk just a hair. Oh, man, it's awesome.
Oh, I'm going to have to try this.
Yeah. And I'm with you on the pina colada. I'm not a big fan of the frozen. I like the old school pina coladas.
Right.
The hand-wrung deal, you know. You cut the nut off the coconut, add the rum, add a little bit of lime, get busy, baby.
If you're going cocktail, you're drinking my favorite.
The Mule.
I'm a Kentucky Mule drinker.
You don't like the Moscow Mule?
I'm a vodka drinker, but I'm not. If I'm drinking vodka, it's straight.
I hear you.
But as far as a cocktail, Kentucky Mule's generally my way of going.
Yeah. What's your daily?
Daily's usually an IPA, at beer at the most.
You like the hop? You like the hoppy?
The hoppier the better for me.
Yeah. I hear you. You're that guy.
Yeah, I'm one of those that'll tell you. And I realize people will tell you the IPA is... People have said the IPA is the official drink of the hipster douchebag. And my opinion is, call me what you will, just give me a goddamn beer.
Do you know the story behind the IPA? Do you know why it happened?
I don't.
You know what IPA stands for?
It stands for India Pale Ale.
Very good. You know why it happened?
It's something to do with the India Trading Company.
Very close. During the British occupation of India, the British military, the soldiers, the Department of State, whoever was running the whole thing, they missed their British pales, the pale ales, which is what they called their bitters, right?
Right.
Think of...
the ESBs.
The ESBs, the nut brown beers, that kind of stuff. So they would ask the brewers in England to brew that stuff and ship it by ship, literally, around the Cape of South Africa into India. It was the only way to get there. Well, the problem was it took so damn long, the beer would go off. Well, the brewers figured out if they added more hops, it would preserve the beer. So they did. So what they got was a very hoppy pale ale, or the India Pale Ale. It took off. They loved it. And that's where that came from.
Hmm. And now you have so many Americanized variations. You've got the New England IPA, which is the hazies, which means they're just not as filtered.
Right.
And a good, you can, okay, you're going to, the New England style has three names. You're going to see a New England style IPA, a hazy IPA, or a juicy IPA.
Right.
All three are the same damn thing.
Just all name.
Yeah. And they are... They're good. They're just generally lower alcohol content than a standard IPA.
Right.
I've had some IPAs that were tip the scales over 10%. Mainly because you can't go over 10.2 in the state of Mississippi.
Unfortunately, but yeah.
But you can get better ones here in the state.
Try and live in Kansas, though.
Yeah. You can get better ones in the state of Tennessee in the liquor store. That's so
very, very true. Fellas, thank you so very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having us.
It's been a thrill for me. We're going to do this again. I'm going to have you guys back on here pretty soon, and we're going to do some more. We're going to continue this discussion.
Thunder cookies. Another bottle of bourbon it is.
We'll do some even if it's wrong, as they say.
This wasn't?
Oh, this is nowhere near wrong. No. I'm running every frame of this. Yeah, this is all good.
Oh, God.
I'm not going
to
get
Go out there and subscribe to us on iTunes or Spotify or wherever the hell else.
There you go. Find the Heavyweight Chumps, kids. That's where it's at. It's a good show. And thank you guys once again. We'll see you all next time. How about that?
Absolutely. Right. Thanks, Rick. It's been a great time.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You've heard what's coming up next time on the program. In the meantime, please take care of yourselves and take care of one another. For God's sake, stop shooting each other, all right? I'm Rick Cheddar. And this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.
And I don't edit much, so, you know, if at all.
Just give me the restrictions.
There are none. Is there anything that I shouldn't ask you about?
I don't know. Is there anything you want to ask me about that I need to know about?
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
No, there was that. So we'll check that off. How many times do you dress as Little Bo Peep?
What did you tell him, Jason?
What did Sure, get me in trouble.
Bye.
No. All right. All right, here we go.